So tonight's shiur is on Megillas Esther, and the title of the shiur tonight is Mordechai's Response to the Decree. So tonight we're going to look at the fourth parak of Megillas Esther and try to understand, based on the first pasuk, you know, how Mordechai responded to learning about Haman and Haman's plan to destroy the Jews. And there's some interesting midrashim on it. So we'll look at the pshat and the mefarshim, and we'll also look at the midrashim to try to get some greater insight into the story. So we'll start with Esther Perek Dalet and the first pasuk, pasuk Aleph. It says, Mordechai yada es kol asher nasa vayikra Mordechai es begadav vayilboshak vayifer vayitze besoch ha'ir vayizak ze'akha gidola umara. So it says, the pasuk says that Mordechai knew all that had taken place, all that was done. And Mordechai, he ripped apart his clothing and he put on sackcloth and ash. He goes out into the city and he cries out a loud cry. Okay, so the pasuk tells us that when Mordechai found out about the situation, his response was that he tore his clothing, and it sounds like he was trying to do tshuva here. And he goes out, and he's completely in mourning, he has the ash and the sackcloth, and he's crying. So the pshat is that he was doing tshuva, and his immediate response to finding out about the whole plot to destroy the Jews was to initiate the tshuva process. And the Malbim, in source number 2, says this, but he also adds an extra component. So if you look in source number 2, it says, Umordechai, it says, Yoshev Bashamai Mislak, he who sits in the heavens will laugh. V'im kol machshavo shechashav shishayar hadavar besod. So he says that Haman intended that all the details of how he convinced and bribed Ahasuerus remain secret. He obviously wanted all the nations to know that the Jews were to be destroyed based on his lottery, but he didn't want the details to be exposed. He wanted them to be secret. And the Torah Esther says, Noda hadavar leMordechai al yedei hashgachas Hashem. So Mordechai knew the details of what Haman had discussed with Ahasuerus and how it occurred through some type of divine intervention, Hashkacha Nevuah. And the reason why the Malbim goes this way is because in the last parak, the very end, it says, Ve'ir Shushan Nevocha, and everybody knew that the Jews were going to be destroyed. So what's the chiddush of the pasuk teaching us that Mordechai knew? So what did he know? He knew all the details and all the secret, the aspects that Haman wanted to be kept secret, Mordechai knew about, and it was told to him by Hashgachas Hashem. V'yeda kol advarm she'avru beino uvein ha'melech. So Mordechai knew all of the matters that Haman had spoken to Ahasuerus about, and all the arguments. V'chein eich rima ha'melech v'chol alilosa v'tachbulosa. And Mordechai knew how Haman had tricked the king and all of his complaints about the Jews, and all of the arguments and the charges against the Jews. Mordechai was aware of exactly what Haman said. Uvazeh heichin oso inyan l'shnei devarim. And through this knowledge, Mordechai was able to respond in two ways. One is, Aleph shekara es begadav, v'leobash sak v'efer l'tshuva u'tfila, l'hafik ratzon me'asher biyado lev malachim. So the first response was tshuva and tfila, and that would have been the response no matter what, but that was the first idea that he planned for. The acharkach le'emtzayim tivyim, but he also used a more natural approach, a political approach. V'haisa aitzaso harishona shelo yeh hadavar besod, rak shiyoda bein legoi haratzos uvein lahamelech, ki al yidei ken yamdu malitzim lahashbis hadavar. So initially, it was meant to keep this a secret, and only the people and the melech would know about it, but the people in the aratzos would know that they would be responsible for killing the Jews. But all the details were meant to be kept secret. Ki alidei kein yamdu melitzim lahashbis hadavar, because then people who advocated for the Jews would come and they would try to argue against it. V'lachein yatza berechovos kriya v'zaak lasof elav hamonim shisparsim hadavar. So Mordechai believed that from a political standpoint, it would be good to publicize this, to not keep it a secret. And even though everyone knew that the Jews were going to be destroyed, he wanted to announce it, and he wanted to announce some of the details in order that there'll be some defense and some advocates on the part of the Jews to stop this plot from going forward. So Mordechai approached this in two ways. One is through approaching Hashem through tshuva and tefillah. And the other is politically, he maintained that Haman was trying to keep this secret, and that would be to the benefit of Haman, and all the details about how Haman got power and he bribed the king. And Mordechai was trying to expose this information in order that perhaps people would advocate to stop this plot, and the more public it got, the more likely this situation could potentially be stopped through political means. So the pshat is that the response of Mordechai was in two avenues, two arenas. One is the arena of Hashem and Hashgacha, and the other was, even without Hashgacha, we have to use political means. And Mordechai believed that going out into the street and publicizing what was happening would be beneficial from a political standpoint. So that's more of a pshat approach. Obviously, the one idea that's not mentioned in the Torah that the Malbim mentions, but all the Midrashim also mention, is that Mordechai didn't just know about the basics, but he knew greater information. He had some type of greater insight, and the reason for this, or the ability to see this, was through Ruach HaKodesh, or Hashgachas Hashem. But he used this information to plan this out, to prepare for how to approach this, and there's two ways to approach this. So that's the pshat, that's the Malbim, I think. So let's go on to the Medrash. The Medrash has a deeper insight into how Mordechai responded to the decree of Haman. So the Medrash in source number 3, it says, Mordechai yada es kol asher nasa. Mordechai knew that which was done. Amar Rav gava Haman me Achashverosh. Rav said that Haman was even greater than Achashverosh. He had more power and authority than Achashverosh. Sharei heisir es tabato me al yado. He removed Achashverosh by tricking Achashverosh or bribing him. He removed his seal, his ring, me al yado. V'nasan hamem shalom biyado. He was basically given authority. Haman was, at this moment, powerful, the most powerful. But also ayom Haman yotzei miplatrin shel melech. So on that day, Haman left Achashverosh. He left the palace. Ve'geras biyado. He had this letter that was sent out to destroy the Jews. V'chol sari hamelech acharav. And he had all this entourage. Upaga b'hem Mordechai. And they interacted, encountered Mordechai. So ra'a shlosha tinokos. There were three children that came out of school. Yotzin mibeis Rabban. So there are three students, three little kids that came out of school, out of their Rebbe's house. Amar lehem Mordechai. So Mordechai said, psuki li psukaichu. So Mordechai says, tell me the psukim that you're learning about. Give me some psukim. So they were learned, these children. Pasach harishon ve'amar altira mipachad pitom umasos rasha'im kisavo. So the first one was from Mishlei. And the kid said to Mordechai, don't be afraid of any sudden type of event. And it says, the disaster, I have the English here, or the disaster that comes upon the wicked. So that's Mishlei, that's quoted to him. So don't be afraid of something pitom, sudden, or the disaster that falls upon the wicked. So that was the first pasuk. Then the second, Vashini, the second kid said, Omer, he says, Utsu Eitza Vesufar, Dabru davar velo yakum ki imanu keal. So it says, hatch a plot and it shall be foiled, and agree on action, it shall not succeed, because with us is Hashem, is our God. So that was the second pasuk. And the last one, Vashlishi Amar, v'ad zikna chu, v'ad seva ani espol, ani asisi v'ani esa v'ani espol v'amalei. So until you're old, I am the same, and until you turn gray, I will bear you. I made you, and I will carry you, I will bear you, and I will rescue you. So those are the three psukim that these little kids told Mordechai. So if you go back to the Medrash, it says, Miyad Sachak Mordechai. So Mordechai heard this, and he laughed. Amar lo Haman. So Haman said to Mordechai, Ma amru lecha tinokos halalo v'sachakta. What do these children say to you that you're laughing? So Amar lo bisuros tovos bisruni. So he said back to Haman, that they're forecasting good things in the future. They told me good news. Miyad kas Haman belibo. So Haman gets angry. Amar eni shaleach tchila ela be'elu atinokos. So Haman says, when I destroy the Jews, I'm going to kill these three children first. First I'm going to kill these kids, and then I'll kill the rest of the Jews. So it's a funny story. It's a funny medrash. But just to summarize, the medrash basically has three parts. The first part is that Mordechai saw that Haman had this great power, and he came out with his entourage, and they encountered each other. Then the second part is the Tinokos, how they told Mordechai these three psukim. So why these three psukim? And what's the relevance? And the third is the response of Mordechai and Haman, that Mordechai was happy and he laughed, and Haman was really angry, and for some reason he wants to destroy these little kids. So the question is, what's the goal of this medrash? What's it trying to teach us? What insight can we gain about Mordechai's response to the decree from this story? And why are kids used in the story? What's the idea of the psukim and the kids? Why are kids teaching him this? Why couldn't it just be adults? And lastly, this reaction on the part of Mordechai and Haman. So we have to understand this, but I think if we understand the goal or the purpose of this medrash, we'll really understand on a deeper level how Mordechai really responded to the decree and what happened to him, what he experienced. So let's look at the psukim. The psukim are interesting inside, just to get the pshat of what they're saying, and then we'll try to put everything together. So if you look in source number 4, Mishlei says, "Al tira mipachad pisom umasos rishaim kisova." So it says, don't be afraid of that which occurs suddenly, something sudden. And also, don't be the disaster that comes upon the wicked will not come upon you. Look at source number 5. The Malbim says, Al tira mipachad haba pisom shehu abitachon. So don't be afraid of something that happens suddenly, like a sudden storm, a sudden lightning strike. All those things require a certain level of bitachon. The Ala Shmira Amar Shalotira Masos Rishaim Kisavo. And with regard to guarding yourself, it says, don't be afraid of the disasters that occur to the Rishaim. Shagam im tavo hashva muchenes lahashminas Rishaim, even if something bad happens to the Rishaim, Altira kitinatzel bashkachas Hashem. Don't be afraid because you'll be saved by the Ashkacha. Okay, so the first pasuk, just the pshat, is saying that people have two types of fears. One fear is things that are out of their control. So a lot of times a person fears that something could happen and they're not expecting it. They can't predict it. They can't see it happen. And it happens anyways. And that's one of the sources of anxiety. And the pasuk saying, don't feel that way. And the other idea is that there's no value in that type of anxiety. And the second part is sometimes people feel like they'll be included in another person's punishment. Like if there's an earthquake or a hurricane. So maybe that's, I'm not deserving of it and others are, but I'll be included in their punishment. So the idea is, no, you'll be saved by Hashem, and that's what the pasuk's teaching you, teaching us that these are two normal fears that a person has, of the sudden, something that they can't see and they can't forecast, or that they might be included in somebody else's punishment. So the pasuk's teaching us that these types of fears are really irrational types of fears, anxieties, and that's what Mishlei's trying to teach us about how to approach these types of fears. The second is Utsu Eitza. Look in source number 6. It's Yeshayahu Periches. Utsu Eitza Vesufar. Dabru Davar V'Yokum Kimanu Kel. So it says, if you hatch a plot, it will be foiled. If you agree on action, it will not succeed because God is with us. So the Radak says, Utsu. Ma tol lachem atzaslem al Yerushalayim Kisufar. Any type of plot that you have against Yerushalayim, I think that means like the Jews in general, it won't be successful. V'chein daberchem aleh. When you speak about it, Lo yakum, it won't succeed. Vilama, why? Ki manu kel. So then it's because Hashem is with us. So the second pasuk is kind of generic, but it's saying that if you try to plot against the Jews, you're not going to succeed. Yerushalayim, you won't succeed because God is with us. And then the last is in source number 8, Ve'ad zdikna ani hu, ve'ad seva ani espol, ani asisi v'ani esa v'ani espol v'amale. So it says, until you grow old, I'm the same, and I will bear you when you turn gray. I carry you, I bear you, and I will rescue you. This is talking about Hashem, obviously, to Klal Yisrael. And the Radak says in source number 9, the Amar v'ad zikna v'seva elokim al tazvini, seva yoser mizikna. Seva means being older, is older than zikna. V'chein amru ben shishim l'zikna ben shivim l'seva. A person who's 60 is called a zakim, but when you're 70, you're called a seva. So being a seva is older. So Hashem says, I am the same. Anihu, I am the same, and I will constantly carry you, no matter what. Anihu, anihu imachem. Ani asisi. Since I made you, it's upon me to bear you. The Hamasa Vasava Lovisparachi Derek Mashal. It's all an idea of a mashal. I'll rescue you from Galus Bavo. So these three psukim were quoted to Mordechai by these three children. And they're obviously all psukim that pertain to the idea that Hashem is with us, that we will be saved. Those are all that's the general nature of the psukim. But what exactly is going on here? The question is, what's the purpose of the medrash? And why is it split up into these three parts? And what are these? What does the Medrash teach us about Mordechai? So I wanna try a different an approach to this Medrash to try to understand what's going on in the Psukim. So the first part, there's three parts, as I mentioned before. I think if you approach a Medrash, you should try to break it up into its parts. You don't have to, but in this Medrash, in this situation, I think it's beneficial. So the first is that Mordechai saw that Haman came out of the king's palace with this great entourage, and he had the seal, and he was even more powerful than Ahasuerus. But the reality is, so what's interesting about that part of the Medrash, the reality is that Haman was not above Ahasuerus. In fact, Ahasuerus was really the one who gave Haman power. So what's the Medrash teaching us? It's teaching us that when Haman came out of the palace, Mordechai had a certain perception of Haman. His perception of Haman was that he was on a higher level than he in reality he was. His perception of Haman was that he had overtaken Ahasuerus in terms of his authority and power. So that's the first idea. The first idea is that Mordechai had an improper, or not an improper, but he had an overestimation of Haman's position after this decree. He thought of Haman as being the authority. It says in the Medrash, Amar Rav, Gava Haman Ma'achashverosh. He thought of Haman as even greater than Ahasuerus. So the first part of the Medrash is teaching us about Mordechai's perception on a psychological level of Haman, that he perceived him and he overestimated Haman's position. And then you have the whole idea of the kids teaching him the Psukim. So why do the kids teach him the Psukim? So it sounds like Mordechai really needed a method or a way or a means of trying to calm himself down, trying to break that perception that he had of Haman in order to approach the situation properly. So the idea of a kid, why was a kid mentioned in the Medrash, whether it's literal or not? The idea of a child is that a child sees things simply. Usually children don't overcomplicate things the way adults do, but there's a simplicity to the way a child looks at the world. And the idea was that Mordechai was overestimating Haman's strength, power, authority, and as such, he was losing out on a certain simplicity, on a certain confidence and ability to see the situation for what it was. And instead, his anxiety, because of his perception of Haman, would affect or was affecting his ability to approach the situation. So instead, the idea of the children is that they're calming him down. They're giving him, or they're showing him, that he's overestimating Haman's strength, power, and he needs to have he needs to break down this overestimation. Mm-hmm. And these psukim are all psukim that teach person not to be anxious, to have a certain security in God. So the idea was that Mordechai needed this. He needed a transformation of sorts in order to change his perception of Haman, because if not, he wouldn't be able to approach Haman properly. So the end of the story, the last part is interesting. So Mordechai laughs, but Haman is so angry that he says, I'm going to kill the Tinoks the first, because he doesn't understand what they said. So what's the idea? What's the last idea? The last idea is that the end of the Medrash is that Mordechai saw a way, once he was able to overcome this overestimation of Haman, he was able to see how fickle and how fragile Haman's ego was. Because you see that Haman was this leader who had just accomplished destroying a nation, or at least attempting to destroy a nation, and he's getting upset at little kids who say psukim, and Mordechai's laughing. And you see that Haman is so angry that he wants to kill the kids first. He's so angry, so upset. So what do we see? We see that despite Haman's position, his ego was so fragile, and that was the source of his weakness and the ability of Mordechai to exploit him. So that was apparent to Mordechai. And that's how he approached the whole plot of how to manipulate Ahasuerus and Haman into a situation where they would be, where Haman would be destroyed. So I think the Medrash is giving us some insight into how Mordechai responded. So initially, Mordechai, it seems like, was overwhelmed. And that overwhelming feeling produced an anxiety within him, and because he overestimated his perception of Haman. And that's what it means at the beginning of the Medrash. Gava Haman Ma'achashverosh. It's not true. Haman was not greater than Ma'achashverosh. But in Mordechai's mind, when he saw Haman walk out, it affected him emotionally, and he was overwhelmed by it. But then the story goes on and shows us that Mordechai was able to overcome this. And the idea of the children was to try to minimize, or at least mitigate, all the complicated emotions that Mordechai was feeling, the overwhelming feeling, and try to simplify things in Mordechai's mind. And then lastly, Mordechai, once he's able to change his psyche and approach Haman properly, at the end, he's able to see Haman's defects. And the defect is so apparent that despite the fact that this man had achieved everything that he wanted, and he was very powerful, and he controlled the king, he was so insecure and so fragile that even little children would upset him to the point where he wanted to destroy them. So with that information, that was the last piece of information in the Medrash, but it showed Mordechai and it gave him insight into Haman's weaknesses and his ability to utilize those and to try to approach destroying Haman with the knowledge of Mordechai. So the whole Medrash is teaching us a transformation in Mordechai's mind from, I think, believing that Haman was on a certain level and changing that perception so that he could accurately plot against Haman and destroy Haman by using his weaknesses against him. So I think that's what the Medrash is teaching us about Mordechai's response. And there's a similar idea in a Gemara. I think it's Gemara. It's source number 10. Or it's a Medrash. In source number 10. Sorry, it's not a Gemara. It's a Medrash. In source number 10, the Sifri says a little bit different. It says, Vayikra Mordechai es begadav. And it kind of alludes to Mordechai's this idea. It says, Ze echad shekaru bigdeim v'chinam. This is one example in Tanakh where an individual or a group of people tore their clothing for nothing. Yaakov, Shenemar, Vayikra Yaakov, Simlosav. So Yaakov tore his clothing when he thought that Yosef was dead. Amar Le HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Alchinam Karata Begadecha. You tore your clothing for nothing. Lamachar Ata Ochel Vishosa Imo. Shenemar, Vyosef Yashas Yado Einecha. Tomorrow you're gonna end up eating and drinking with Yosef. And eventually, you know, Yosef takes care of Yaakov and Yaakov ends up reuniting. Shvatim Bayikarusim Losam Bayamos. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by the Shvatim also, when they found out about Binyamin and they were scared that Yosef was gonna destroy them because Binyamin had taken the Gaviyah, so they tore their clothes. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Atem Karasam Bigdechan, Lamachar Atem Ochlam Ashosim. So you're gonna end up eating and drinking and be friendly with him. And then the last one is Vayikara Mordechai Esbegadav. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lachinam Karata Esbegadecha. You did it for nothing, Lamachar Haman Itzlav. Tomorrow Haman will be hung. So the Medrash says that this was one of the examples in Tanakh of three where the person tore his clothes bechinam for nothing. But the question is, what do you mean for nothing? I mean, this was Mordechai wanted to do tshuva and he tore his clothing because he legitimately believed that this was going to be disastrous for the Jewish people and he was trying to do tshuva and tefillah, and that's what you're supposed to do. So what does it mean bechinam? So I think bechinam is saying that all in all these situations, they were blind to the idea that they were kind of blind or overwhelmed to the situation and to the emotions of the situation, and they didn't really see the possibility of it working out. So you see that by all these cases, by Yaakov. When Yaakov was told that Yosef was killed, he didn't envision a possibility that he would ever be reunited, or he didn't question where's Yosef's body, whether this is true or not. He accepted it. And he was overwhelmed by it, and that's why it was a bit kriya shel chinam. It doesn't mean that he did the wrong thing. It just means that the kriya itself was one where he was in a kind of a blinded state by his emotions. And the same thing with the shvatim when they encountered Yosef. And the last is by Mordechai. That Mordechai, the idea of Vayikras v'gadav, is teaching us that he was a little blinded when this happened. And the blindness fits into the beginning of the Medrash, that he really couldn't see. He was overwhelmed by the power that Haman was reflecting and was showing off when he left the king's palace, and it affected him initially, and that's what it means, kriya shel chinam. It means that he was blinded by being overwhelmed and his anxiety and his emotions initially in his response. But the Medrash teaches us that, no, he changed, he was able to overcome this, and he was able to thus approach this properly and approach the idea and approach the plot of trying to destroy Haman properly. So I think that's the purpose of the Medrash before, and this Medrash kind of strengthens that idea that Mordechai was a little overwhelmed initially, and then he was able to overcome it in terms of approaching the situation. So that's the second idea of the Medrash. So the first idea was the Malbim, there's a pshat, that Mordechai approached this from a political standpoint and also from a
a philosophical standpoint. And the second idea is the Medrash, that Mordechai had to overcome a certain feeling of being overwhelmed and anxiety because he was affected by Haman's position and his power. And he had to overcome that and be able to see the obvious weakness in Haman's personality, which was his fragile ego and his inability, his insecurity, his inability to tolerate any type of criticism. Okay, so that's the second idea. And then the last idea in the response of Mordechai is based on this Medrash, another Medrash. So I didn't bring down the whole Medrash because I brought it down through the Alshech, who's one of the Mefarshim. And he quotes the Medrash, but he says it's very long. So he only quotes a certain element of the Medrash. So I'm going to use that element that he quotes because he doesn't quote the whole thing to try to explain one other point in this Pasuk. So if you look at the Alshech in source number 11, it says, V'hinei lavo ala bir natik lashon ma'amram zal b'medrash chazis. So he says, I'm going to quote, print out this medrash from Esther Rabbah, im nashmit k'tsaso ki arachu me'od. And I'm going to leave out some of it because it's very long. V'zeh lashono. So this is it. Amar Rav Yishmael, so Rav Yishmael said, Shmona asar elef v'chamesh ma'os Yehudim halchu leves amishta v'achlu v'shasu. There are 318,500 Jews that went to the party of Achashverosh. Miyad amad satan v'hilshin aleihem lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the satan, the Satan, went to God, to Hashem, and he said, the amar lefanav ad masai tidbak b'umazu. How long are you going to cling to this nation? So he was trying to bash the Jews. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Torah matzeh aleha. What's going to happen to Torah if the Jews are destroyed? Amar lefan of Ribono Shalom, Tistapik be'el yonim. So he said before Hashem that it's enough to be left in the heavens. The Malachim will learn Torah. They'll learn the philosophy of Torah. The Gam Hishva Daito Limchokis Yisrael. And he also desired to destroy Yisrael. But Osa Shah, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lama li Uma Shebishvilo Hirbesi Ososai Mbosai Bechol Hakamim Aleihem Lera. So he said, you know, why do I keep this nation around that I did all these miracles for, and then they always do evil? Ashbis me'enosh zichrom. I'm going to destroy them from reality. There nobody will remember them from all eternity. Miyad amar kadosh baruch hu l'satan. So Hashem said to the satan, Havi li megillah ve'echtav aleha kliya. Bring me this megillah, and I'll decree upon them destruction, the Jews. Ba'osa shah halach ha'satan ve'havi megillah ve'chasav aleha. So the Satan brought this Megillah to Hashem, and Hashem decreed destruction, utter destruction on the Jews. Miyad yatsasa Torah bevigdei amanusa, or amanus. So the Torah came out, and it was in a depressing clothing, in mourning. The gam malachi asharis tzaku lekol bichiyasa, and also the malachim were crying. The amru lefana, ribono shel olam, im Yisrael betelem in ha'olam, lamo anu tzrichim ba'olam. If the Jews are destroyed, why is there any need for us? And so too, the sun and the moon, they also said to Hashem the same thing. If the Jews are destroyed, what purpose is there for us? So Eliyahu goes to the Avos, ve'etzel Moshe ben Amram, and to Moshe, the Amar lo, ad masai Avos olam redum in Beshina. How long are you going to sleep? Amar lo, mipnei ma. They said to him, why? It's because the Jews were involved in enjoying the suda of Achashverosh. Amrulu Avram Yitzchak V'Yakov Imhem Avru Al Daso Kadosh Baruch Hu V'Nechdemag Zerasam Ma Anu Yichol Masos. So the Avos first said, "What are we going to do if the decree is for them to be destroyed? There's nothing for us to do." Chazar Eliyahu V'Amrulu L'Moshe Iro and Naaman. So then Eliyahu goes to Moshe and he says, "If you're a trustworthy shepherd of Klal Yisrael, Ma tana al tzara azos. What can you say to help them? Amar lo Moshe, klum yesh adam kasher b'osu ador. Is there a good guy in this generation? Amar lo yesh yishmo Mordechai. There is a guy. His name is Mordechai. Amar lo lech v'hodio kadesh yamod hu misham b'tfila v'ani mikan. So go tell Eliyahu. He said to Eliyahu, go tell Mordechai, and he'll daven and I'll daven. Amar lo roa neman kfar nichtava igeras kli al Yisrael. So he said, what do you mean? The Jews are already decreed to be destroyed. Eliyahu said this to Moshe. So Amar lo Moshe, Moshe said, im betit hi chasuma, if it's in mud, tefilasenu nishmas, then our tefillah will be heard. V'im bedam nechtema, but if it's with blood, ma shehaya hu sheyia, that which is done will occur. Amar lo, he said, Eliyahu said, betit hi chasuma, it's only in mud. Amar lo, Moshe Rabbeinu lech ve'odil Mordechai, go tell Mordechai, miyad halach leMordechai, hadahu dechsev u'Mordechai yada eis kol asher nasa. So now this is what it means, that Mordechai knew what happened. So it's a long medrash, and it's longer, but the Alshech only quotes part of it. So the medrash, just to summarize, the medrash talks about how really what happens is there's a lot of Jews that went to enjoy the party of Achashverosh, and Hashem was ready to destroy the Jews based on the Satan's recommendation. And then everyone starts complaining, the Malachim, the stars, and the sun and the moon. And finally, Eliyahu is summoned, and he goes to the Avos and Moshe, and he asks them what they should do, because it's drastic, the situation. And then Moshe says, go find Mordechai and tell him what's going on, and Mordechai will daven, and I'll daven, and there's still a chance, there's still a possibility. So the question is, what's the idea of this story? What's the purpose of this medrash? It's harder to break this medrash up into its parts, but I want to give like one idea for the medrash, to try to explain the medrash and what the purpose of the medrash is. And I think with it, we'll be able to understand a pasuk later on in the Megillah. So to understand this medrash, the idea of the medrash, there's a Torah Tmima that quotes a Gemara Megillah. And I saw the Torah Tmima's explanation, and it gave me an insight into the medrash. So the Gemara says, Vayizak, when Mordechai cries, it says, my Amar, what did he say? Rav Amar Gava Haman Me'achashverosh. So Rav says, like our first medrash, that Haman is greater than Achashverosh. Shmuel Amar Gavar Malka Ilah Mi Malka Tesa. So Shmuel said that he cried out loud, the king on high is greater than the king below. So the king on high is Hashem, and the king below is Achashverosh. So what does that mean? Look at the Torah Tmima. He says, Sfir, Rav Sfir Le Kitzak B'lashon Kizesh Yavu HaDvar M'Achashverosh. So the first idea is similar to what we said before, the Malbim, that really Rav is saying that Mordechai was trying to tell Achashverosh that Haman is trying to elevate himself over you. And he was screaming out in the streets, Gava Haman Me'Achashverosh, Haman is greater than Achashverosh. He wanted Achashverosh to hear this in order that Achashverosh be paranoid that Haman was trying to take his position. Perhaps Achashverosh would see that Haman is trying to take all this glory, and he's trying to take the position of Achashverosh, and Achashverosh would eventually save the Jews. But Shmuel says that he was davening to Hashem, like the Malbim says. The Amar Gvar Malka Ilah Mi Malka Tisa, and he said that the king on high is greater than the king below. Upirish Rashi Kinoihu. Rashi explains that this is a kinoi, it's a euphemism. Lehefech b'lashon nekiya, it's really the opposite. He's saying that the king below is greater than the king on high. So what does that mean? Umar Sha Hiksha de'im kein halo itziach Mordechai devarim klape mala. So the Marsha says, based on Rashi's interpretation, it sounds like Mordechai is almost challenging Hashem. So he says, v'li nira da'kavana shen nitzak shekach yomar haman o'umus ha'olam. So the answer is that Mordechai was arguing to Hashem that if this takes place, if Hashem allows this, then the people will say, and Haman will say, that the humans have succeeded over God. V'ch'ein shamar Moshe lama yomru mibolti acholes. And Moshe had the same argument by the Jews after the Egel. When the Jews were going to be destroyed, Moshe says to save the Jews, what will the Mitzrayim say about how you were unable to take the Jews out of Mitzrayim and take them into Eretz Yisrael? V'chein David Amar, Lama Yomru Hagoyim Ayei Elokeim, why will the other nations say, where is your God? Uval Lashon Zeh Katzar. So this is a shortened version. Okay, so there's the Pshat of the Torah Tmima is he's saying similar to the Malbim, but he goes into more detail. He says that there's two approaches based on, one is that it was political, that he was trying to undermine Achashverosh, try to show Achashverosh that Haman was really trying to take his position. But the second approach, according to the Torah Tmima, is that Mordechai had taken on the same type of tefillah that Moshe had taken on. So, and the tefillah was, what will the other nations say if this happens? Will they'll reject you. They'll say God doesn't exist. So what do we see from here, from this Torah Tmima and the Medrash before? Because it's a similar idea in the Medrash. Because in the Medrash, Moshe is the one who's advising Eliyahu to go to Mordechai. And Moshe is the one who tells Eliyahu to tell Mordechai to daven. And Moshe is going to daven. So what do we see? We see from the Medrash that the situation on a philosophical level was far more dire than perhaps Mordechai might have suspected on his own. And the idea seems to be that Mordechai needed certain information, certain knowledge as to the drastic nature and the direness of the situation. And the Medrash is showing us that the Jews, from a philosophical standpoint, were really deserving of being destroyed in a complete sense. And similar to the story of the Egel, that don't minimize the Jews' participation in Achashverosh's party. It wasn't just participating, but the idea was that the Jews were assimilating. They were really enjoying the philosophy of Achashverosh, and they were subject and really decreed upon to be destroyed on a philosophical level. And Mordechai had to know this. And the idea of the Medrash is that Mordechai was keenly aware of the direness from a philosophical standpoint of the Jew situation. That really, ultimately, it wasn't just that this evil man had decreed upon the Jews, but really from a philosophical standpoint, they were deserving of complete destruction. So the idea of the Medrash is trying to show us that Mordechai had to be aware of how dire this situation was, that the whole world was dependent on this. That's the idea of the Malachim crying out, the sun and the moon. It means that the Klal Yisrael's fate was really philosophical fate was really in check here in this situation, and it was really they were really subject and chayiv to be destroyed, and that's why the idea of Tefillah of Moshe. Why use the Tefillah of Moshe? Because that's the Tefillah that you use in the most dire situation when you really understand that the Jews are deserving of Kliya of being destroyed. That's when you really have to use this type of tefillah, the tefillah of Moshe. And that's why the Medrash is showing us that Eliyahu had to give Mordechai this information. He had to show Mordechai. Mordechai had to know through Nevuah, through Hashkachas Hashem, how dire this situation was on a philosophical level, in order to daven properly, in order to use the proper tefillah in approaching this situation. And we see this idea. I had this idea. I was thinking about this idea from the Torah Tzmima. And it comes out also at the end. In source number 14, it says, Kimu v'kiblu ha'yudim, aleihem v'alzaram, v'alkol nilvim aleihem, v'lo yavor li'os osim ha'shnei yamim ha'ele kichsavam v'chizmanam b'chol shana v'shana. So the Pasuk says that the Jews accepted to keep Purim. That's the pshat. But the Gemara, it's a famous Gemara in source number 15. It says, Amar Rava, afal pishim etzchila kiblu Yisrael satorah b'chvias har gigiyas. Even though initially the Torah was accepted by the Jews with the mount, with the Har Sinai on top of them. Afilu hachi hadar kiblu abimei Achashverosh. They reaccepted the Torah in the times of Achashverosh. Dechsiv kimu v'kiblu, kimu masha kiblu kfar. So they accepted that which they accepted in the past. So what does this teach us? It teaches us not just a philosophical level of the Jews, but the idea is that the Jews had to reestablish their relationship with Hashem, much like they were destroyed or they were subject to complete destruction by the Egel. So too, in this situation, it wasn't enough that the Jews did tshuva in order to save themselves. But there was a fundamental issue that they had to fix, and that was their assimilation, their attachment to Achashverosh. And the idea of reaccepting the Torah is the concept that the Jews, after the tshuva process, were able to reestablish their own identity and separate themselves once again. And that was part of what saved them and saved their and allowed them to survive in this situation. So the last idea in this Medrash is really this concept that really the Mordechai was aware of the philosophical nature of the Jews' state of being and how they were really subject to be destroyed. And that informed him, and that information was important in terms of planning tefillah and using the proper tefillah. And we see ultimately that the Jews, it wasn't enough that they do tshuva, but they reaccepted Torah, meaning they fixed the problem and the assimilation and the feeling of dependence on Achashverosh and assimilation on Achashverosh. And once they did that, they were able to, or they reestablished themselves and reestablished their connection and relationship to Torah. And that was part of their tshuva. Okay? So I think we're going to stop there. So I just want to stop the shiur there. Maybe we'll do the next source on a different shiur. But I wanted to summarize the main ideas of the shiur. There's really just 3 points. Just try to isolate it to 3 points. The first point is, in terms of Mordechai's response to the decree of Haman, the first point is that Mordechai had two approaches. One was philosophical and the other one was political. That was the Malbim. And he tried to expose what was going on in a more public sense because he wanted people to argue with Achashverosh and try to advocate on the part of the Jews. The second idea is the Medrash that shows that Mordechai was a little overwhelmed.
and he had a certain perception of Haman, and that had to be broken down in his mind. And once it was broken down, he was able to see clearly the weakness of Haman, which was his fragile ego. And the last idea is the idea, the concept that Mordechai's knowledge wasn't just a conscious knowledge of the situation, but it was also a knowledge of the philosophical state of Klal Yisrael. And it was important because in order to daven properly and prepare the proper tefillah, which was the tefillah of Moshe after the Jews did the Egel, in order for him to do that, so he had to know the situation. He had to really understand that the Jews were really Chayav Kliya. And why were they Chayav Kliya? Because they were involved with Achashverosh's Suda, and they really partook of his Suda. They assimilated, and they didn't have their own. They were losing their own identity. So ultimately, this is expressed. The tshuva is expressed in Kimu v'Kiblu. Like the Gemara says, they reaccepted Torah, meaning they reestablished their relationship with Hashem, and that was part of the tshuva process of the Jews in order to save them and ultimately grant them salvation from the situation. All right. So that is the end of the shir. Any questions on the shir? All right, great. So everybody have a
thank you.
Thank you. Have a happy party.